Welcome to Ramping Up with Fiona Colley
and Matt Taylor.
And we have a really exciting thing tonight. We have our first guest ever.
Yes, sir.
The very fucking shit.
That's okay. You're fine. That's okay. We're totally fine. I don't mind a bit.
He burst into flames immediately.
Yeah.
The very funny Derek Strew.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank y'all so much
very
for having
first guest.
Me. Excited to be here. We're ready.
Oh, man. Derek is the man, and we're very happy to have him as our first guest because I don't know if you watched the pod, but we were talking about, like, people that we really, like, enjoy the most in comedy, and you were both our answer. So
that is the nicest thing ever. Thank you all so much. I really appreciate that. Coming from two very funny people, that means a lot. I'm serious, so thank you all. Flattering. Yeah. To know that I'm not yelling, into the abyss with nobody, enjoying
find these things. Find my Instagram at Derek Yells.
That's it, yeah. I tell on myself immediately. You know exactly what you're getting into right off the bat.
He didn't even need a microphone for being honest.
No, I really, didn't.
Oh, my goodness. Matt's going to hit me for cussing immediately.
Okay. No.
It's all good. One. Here's the thing that happens when you do clean comedy. People assume that you just, I mean, in my day to day, if I hit my toe, I don't go, well, snickerdoodles, so that's totally fine. Just on stage, for my act and a business decision and a personal decision. But yeah, I've definitely heard a few cuss words in my day.
Yeah. I believe it.
Well, it's crazy, like, the energy that you bring on stage. First of all, I think it's perfect for, because the podcast is called Ramping Up, and we talked, I was like, if there's anybody's set that I would describe as, like, ramping up, is like, it starts out, level and cool, and then by the end of it, it is just, it's like a halftime speech and we're down 30.
For sure. That's a great way to describe it. And I realized early that I had to have that slow build, because if you just I tried coming out and just yelling right out of the gate, and you lose people immediately. But the slow build, and you kind of get people, let them know who you are, introduce yourself, and I'm like that. And I take Matt on the road with me. He's one of my favorite openers I bring out, but he works in every casino in America with Rodney Carrington. and Matt has been off stage with me a lot, and he'd tell you my act is not far from who I am. I'm real close to losing it pretty often, and so on stage that slow build is natural. So you're not wrong for that.
Yeah, and start out slower so you don't have a heart attack on stage.
Yeah, no, I've mentioned it before. One time I had a guy in the industry, I was doing that, Nate Bargatze Christmas special, and he came up to me when I got off stage. He goes, "You started off a little nervous." And I was like, "I wasn't nervous at all. I have to build this, and slowly." My dry bar that came out like 5 years ago, I yelled for 45 minutes at the top of my lungs, and I hated it so much. I remember watching it thinking, if I hate watching myself yell, I couldn't imagine how much somebody else, must hate, So anyways, the build and the peaks and valleys, sometimes I'll yell for a little bit and then we'll bring it back down. Let's reset the room and have a real conversation. Because I can't keep that pace so I'm going to have a heart attack in Wichita. my closers are going to be me.
Closer.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, my final closer. That'll be it.
Oh, my God. We're so different on stage, man.
Oh, no, the energies.
You and I could not be more opposite.
Yo, you're exactly right. But it's both the deliveries that make it hilarious. Like, the way that you deliver things and the way that you, on stage is just perfect. I mean, because how you say things matters, and the pace that you say it in. And so, and Matt's the same way. Both of y'all have that slower tempo. I like somebody like when I like Matt. One of the other things I like about him being in front of me, I don't need big energy. I'm gonna do all that. I'm gonna need somebody that's gonna, you know, keep it. You know, if there was another person yelling in front of me, then could you imagine?
Crap.
I mean, the crowd would be like, crap.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The crowd would be shell shocked. Hey, I think I got PTSD from that comedy show. Yell shocked.
Got him.
There it is.
Got him. Yeah. I talk slow, but I think fast. Okay.
We are opposites. I think slow and talk fast. Well, it's a tough life for me sometimes.
That would be worse, guys.
All right.
That would be worst case.
I'll take a wheelchair any day.
Oh, man.
Well, we have some questions, I think, we want to start out with.
Well, real quick, before we kick off a question, there's one thing that we've started doing, and we're going to get every guest to do it. We're going to keep a rolling tab of who's on top. As of right, we have a grip strength thing right here.
You're for real?
I'm dead serious. As of right now, Brady holds the.
Yeah.
Brady's winning right now.
Yeah. I mean, you're gonna crush me. This is not gonna.
I think you'd be surprised.
I got 49.
I don't even know what that's on a scale out of.
Brady got
one. It's out of 50. If it's out of 50, you're a skull crusher. You know?
Yeah, Brady got 150 for context.
Oh.
But I got, like, the highest I've gotten. Yeah. The highest I've gotten is 118, but my average is, like, 91. It's
and
pretty
you're
low.
At 150. My. How many cars you sold? I mean, this guy's out here shaking hands.
He's slapping.
That's impressive. All right, well, let me give it a shot here.
We'll give you two shots on each hand or whichever you want to do.
All right.
There you go. So you just squeeze it
as hard as I can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come here, you son of a gun. Come here, you son of a gun. Pop your head off. It's only 109. It's terrible. I felt like there was more pressure in my face than there was in my hands. How do you restart this? That's terrible. I knew it was going to be bad, man.
Wait,
not only do I have on a tie-dye shirt, I got a handshake of a bunny rabbit.
All right.
How tall are you and how much do you weigh? I want that.
We need
a whiteboard.
Yeah, we need to have like a running whiteboard.
All right.
All right. Now try your left hand and standing up. Don't sell yourself short by sitting down.
I stood up and did it.
Oh, so why don't I do my right hand standing up?
Yeah, you could do that too.
All right.
I just find the opposite hand. Are you right-handed or left-handed?
I'm right-handed.
See, I found that the opposite hands are the stronger ones, surprisingly.
Okay, I'm going to try this one. We're standing up.
Yep.
Okay. One, two, three.
I think
you
might
have turned off.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
All right.
Dude.
All right. Left hand.
Yeah, let one rest.
Ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to crush it into powder. I'm going to crush it into powder. Come here, you pecan. 112.
That's it. That's good. That's nice.
I cannot believe that we're that far apart.
Dude, 150. That's where I was like, what the hell, dude?
Every time I've done it since, it was like 130.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's better. My goodness. They can't see off camera. My fiance's here. She just got an Uber. She's like, are you kidding me?
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's crazy. Right. I don't know then. Brady
We're
might.
Pretty close.
Oh. It's unfortunate. I'm 4 times your size, only doubled your hand strength. That's so tough. That's so tough, man. Oh, man.
Amazing.
Oh, man. I've got one other thing, but
I don't know.
I'm like
kind of
like
game.
Talking myself out of it now.
No, can I?
Oh,
say
wow.
It?
If it's another like strength test,
I mean, okay. It might help the strength
Please.
Test.
Do you want to say it?
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal.
You can say it.
I am
Have
nervous.
Have you ever done smelling salts?
No. And I'll be honest, that is not what I thought was going to happen. Y'all had the biggest buildup. Have I ever done smelling salts?
Yeah.
Do you know?
No, we ordered some off Amazon.
You know, I've like messed around with
You've
it, like,
in
but like
Mothership Green Room.
No, I've never been in the Mothership Green Room. No. I've been to the Mothership, but not
They've
like
got them all in
I
there.
Was just like in Mitzi's bar area, hung out with a few people.
That's the most shocking thing I've
I know,
ever heard
I know.
In my
I don't
life.
Get to Austin very often.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah, but you just moved to New York and you feel like that's a banger out there?
Yeah, New York City?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I get to work the Cellar all the time and the comedy scenes. I mean, all the clubs are great. The New York Comedy Club, the Stand, it's all great. But the Cellar is where I spend most of my time, and that's a really special place.
Dude, the joke you posted online, me and Matt were fucking sorry. We were sobbing about you talking about how people use horns.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, all the observational stuff jumps off the page because New York City's such a different place. I mean, even living in Denver for 10 years, New York City's nothing like Denver or any other place that I've been to. I mean, I really enjoy it, particularly the comedy, the food.
Yeah.
Yeah, the food's great.
How many stairs, though? I'm scared to go there.
Oh,
the
subway is, yeah. I mean,
it's a nightmare.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And tons of stairs. And you just have to walk and try to get around on the sidewalks. And yeah, I could see how that would be a pain in the butt.
Everyone's like, come here. I'm like, build more ramps.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, only certain subways have elevators, I've heard. Like, it's fairly sparse, like spaced
yeah.
out.
Got to
yeah,
wait an
like
hour just for one
does.
That you can get on. Yeah, that's no fun.
Yeah, I want to be rich and Uber everywhere if I go to
yeah.
New York.
Yeah, I mean, we'll still Uber places around town. I mean, the weather there was terrible. I mean, I didn't see sun in New York City for 4 months, and sometimes I'd just Uber. Mm. I didn't want to walk anywhere. The weather's terrible there. I mean, I'm being a little facetious, but the weather was terrible. The winter was. I mean, it was so gray. Yeah, I gave up walking places. I'd just Uber easier.
Oh my God.
That's nice.
Welcome to my life, my guy.
So don't put it close to your face at all.
Who's going first?
Derek, you don't have to do this.
I don't. I don't want to.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That seems like a bad idea.
I did it.
Oh, come on.
I did it when I was sitting.
Now do grip shrinks.
I was sitting in my wheelchair the first time I did it in the green room at the Mothership, and I did that so hard and almost flipped my chair.
Here.
It just wakes you up for a minute.
That is, I mean, yeah, that's a hockey whiff, son. Yeah. Yeah. sorry, I'm learning as I go here. I go. I thought you were like hockey whiff lingo. But I am very comfortable with a spatula. I can tell you that.
I'm so nervous.
Here, you and me hold it so you. Don't throw it across the room.
I'm never going to recover from my hand strength. Goodness gracious. Oh, it was an inch from her nose. Oh, my goodness. She just gets up and walks out. That's the strongest salt in the world. She goes, whoa!
Oh, hey,
Gail. Holy Holy shit. I'm crying.
Oh man.
Okay, so all right,
we can pump out about 8 more episodes tonight.
This is
messed up,
dude.
Oh, good
Lord. You just fist bumped me when I tried to. So maybe I've told this story before. I don't know. But I had just headlined, right, mm-hmm. out of town somewhere. There's a guy in a wheelchair that is worse off than I am, like some sort of genetic something. We're talking for a while. And I look over and I think he's going to fist bump me. And I go to the sign, I realize his hands are just doing this.
He just got strong hands.
So how do you recover?
I pretend like I dropped something. Y'all, I've never been more ashamed.
Yeah, that's
I'm
tough.
Not better than
you. Just
anyone.
Reach out and grab it, and you're like, turkey.
Yeah, hit him with the thanks. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay.
All right.
Oh, dude, do you want dogs? Do you like dogs?
Yeah, of course.
All right, we had two things on here. It was grip strength and smelling salts.
Oh, well, there you go.
I think I've got a fun question for the group. You're sober now, right?
I am, yeah.
So do you think you could win a fight against your drunk self back in the day?
It depends on how drunk I was. But, like, tied on a decent buzz, not a chance.
Right.
Sober Derek's running for his life. and old Derek's beating the door down that he's got locked. No. Yeah, so, and I wasn't, like, you know, a complete, you know, wild man. But, yeah, I mean, I'd get fired up. I was a bourbon guy, you know. So I was either going to cry to Hank Jr. Dinosaur or I was going to try to fight a stranger that didn't like my buddy, you know.
It's funny. Somebody asked that question the other day, and immediately, or at first, I was like, oh, I would beat the hell out of drunk me.
Yeah.
But then I was like, well, drunk me didn't care. It doesn't care. Sober me is like, hey, let's not. We don't have to. Drunk me is like, nah, too late.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm already through you.
Drunk me is barely a human. She can't vote.
Yeah.
So... Drunk me is a vegetable.
What do you like to say? You like catch a good buzz, get pretty. What do you like to do? Like, what are you gonna do?
Me?
Like around. You gonna watch a movie? Is that something that you're gonna want to do?
I want to play games.
Oh, I love that.
Love
like board games. Yes,
I have
That's
a
fun.
Ton in there.
That
I'm
is
obsessed.
So much fun. I mean, and people. I mean, you know, clearly I don't drink anymore, but. Drunk board game, that's underrated.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of, that's...
Like, you think you gotta do this crazy stuff when you're drunk, but everything's crazy when you're drunk.
For sure. You know what I think is something that I miss from drinking is random that you wouldn't think about, but you just reminded me. Putt-putt. You play putt-putt sober, and you're like, can we go home? But you're out there with a buzz, and you go, I'm gonna knock it to this windmill, and everybody's gonna go crazy. You know what I mean? It's like two different, you know, I went to the beach last year, wasn't drinking, and that's one of the things. On the beach, it was pretty tough, but at putt-putt, I was hurting. I go, man, this was a lot more fun. Because I'd carry my drink around. I'd bring my own drink. I was going hole to hole, bringing my drink with me. It's probably good I don't do that anymore, but...
It was at Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
There's so many putt-putt courses in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, I'm a Pensacola guy from way back.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Or I'll go to Gulf Shores, you know, keep that money in Alabama.
Yeah. You know? Hey, I like Perdido Beach.
Perdido Beach, yeah.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
I don't even know.
All right, I got a comedy.
Beaches have nothing to offer me. I don't care about them.
Oh, man.
Oh, I...
Sand? Yeah. Goodbye. The sun, no thank you.
Yeah.
The water, like, we're done.
I wish we had video.
Do you like seafood?
I love seafood. Okay, fine.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Got me there.
No, but that doesn't mean you like the beach, but you'd like to be close.
Close?
Yeah, yeah.
If you put me in the sand, though, you don't care about me.
Yeah. I mean, they somebody put you in the sand. I promise you this. When they come back, you're going to be there still.
I'm not going nowhere.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I wish we had video of our beach trip. We were like, yeah, we can get the manual wheelchair out there and it'll be fine. Dude, I don't think my heart rate has ever been that high. Just dragging a wheelchair through the beach. Like, at first, you're like, oh, it's not that bad.
Oh, very God. Nice of you. But some places have that, like, mat that goes down to the water, yeah. Right?
The fancy places.
Oh, so you'd have to go to, like, 30A or, like, Destin.
Yes, 30A has
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Destin did not.
You gotta have money if you're going to be disabled. That's where I've screwed up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Money helps everything, but I didn't think about going to the water. Yeah,
it'll help you get to the water.
Yeah.
The more money you got, the further out it'll get you.
Yeah.
They pull those mats up unless you got 100K. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Check your credit score. For
before they roll you out. Like, that's as far as they get you.
Yeah, she's never
they
seen
pull
dolphins.
Up the rest of
poor
it.
Parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I eat not looking good.
Oh, I've got a comedy question for you.
All right, go ahead.
Is there a joke that's your joke that you love but you've never been able to get to work?
Yeah. I mean, there's been a couple. I mean, more than a couple. There's been quite a few. There's been some that I just kept doing even though they didn't work out of spite. I mean, I had a joke, I mean, that was about how a lot of my childhood was motivated by blizzards from Dairy Queen. Like my parents, if they wanted me to make good grades, hit a double in baseball, quit talking back, they'd hold a blizzard over my head and I'd usually knock down the assignment. And it didn't translate. Like, I thought, well, when I say this, they're going to carry me into the streets because I'm sure everybody's been blizzard motivated, you know. And come to find out, y'all wouldn't believe this, man, but not many people are blizzard motivated. And yeah, and to me, I mean, I'd be up there saying it and I'd go, I mean, if they're looking for something relatable, this is, you got to be, you know. But there's been a few over the, and there's some of them that people love that you'll hate. Or, you know, not hate, but you'll go, they'll laugh their butt off and you'll go, that's simple and dumb and easy.
Yeah.
And you love that. And this other joke, I worked so hard on it and there's some thinking. And so, yeah, there's definitely been that.
I really did that a lot.
What about you? Do you have a joke that you've tried and you love that just won't?
It's starting to work a tiny bit.
Oh, I like it.
But I'm a dark comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm trying to dive into real stuff, not just what, like, people think is dark when I'm like, my existence is not dark.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm trying to talk about my dad.
Okay.
He's like, not a good guy, you know? I tell the story about he, summing it up, tricked me. When I was 20.
Oh.
And to go to an insane clown posse concert.
Then an insane
brother.
ICP.
Brother.
He shoved Molly, like the drug, into my mouth, and I got kicked out of the ICP concert.
On Molly.
Yeah, I was vomiting everywhere.
Holy Toledo.
So and I so, like
yeah,
tell
I'm looking
story.
For the punchline with you.
It were, I'm like, I was rolling in a lot of ways. That's like the fun part. That's fine. Everyone enjoys that.
Yeah. I was rolling in a lot of ways is great.
And then the next part where you're like, next question, who's ever been kicked out of an ICP concert?
I said that at a show and this guy raised his hand. Now I was like, immediately tell me.
Okay, did he look like when he raised it? Did you go, yeah, you have?
Yeah. Lou, I need you.
You
got to
chill, girl.
Oh, lay down.
There you go.
Yeah, he was a big, big man.
Yeah.
And he and his wife was next to him. And I was like, ma'am, did you know about this before this moment? And she was like, uh-uh.
No, she goes,
like,
that's why I married him.
Tell me everything, you know. Yeah, he got naked.
He got naked at the concert?
Mm-hmm.
He told you that at the show?
Yeah, in front of everyone. I repeated it into the microphone.
You go, you didn't say that loud enough. Let me get this. Yeah. I love that.
Pretty oh, man. Good.
What about you?
I don't think I can say.
Subscribe to the Patreon for Matt's bit.
I mean, and it's also fun sometimes when you do something like what you were talking about, where you start off and nobody likes it, and you keep doing it, and you keep rolling it, and you go, no, y'all are coming around. Those usually turn into some of your strongest and best bits, in my opinion, is when you really kind of put it against the grindstone and make something out of it. But I sometimes don't have the bravery. Louis C.K. will do that on stage at the Cellar sometimes, and some other people stand in the pocket when something's not working and still grind away at it, regardless of the room kind of turning. It's just that's tough.
I love that. I almost live for that sometimes. Just I'm like, I like it when you don't like it because I'm about to force you to like
it. Oh, man, that's tough right there.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I'm so used to people staring at me uncomfortable because I'm in a wheelchair, so it's home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's a different perspective.
Oh, man.
Heads or tails. Got another cue? Question.
A funny one? Brady, you could pull up a funny one. I do have a question we'll ask in the meantime, though. You have a very heavy country accent.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that helps in regions where there isn't, like where country accents aren't the main? Like if you go out to Denver, do you feel like it helps you maybe stand out, or like in New York, or?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes it puts me in a corner immediately. There's some rooms I get into in New York City at the Cellar, and I'm a minute and a half in, and I'll confront it, and I'll mention it. I'll go, y'all don't like me because of the way I sound. And, you know, you've actually mentioned to me, you high-fived me on a joke that I absolutely love because it comes from a real place. I go, my accent's tough in New York City. I go, I mean, people really project. I mean, when I ask if we're in Chinatown, I better be right. You know, because when I'm wrong, it's awkward. And that's from a real place. So sometimes it's endearing. You know, I think below the Mason-Dixon line, I think it plays to my advantage because to them, it's like a home game. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's endearing to people. But sometimes immediately they will just vote for me, give me my personal thoughts, all these things from my accent. They'll make all these assumptions just from the way that I sound. And I can feel it on stage because sometimes I'm singing, I'm sending zingers, and I can tell when you're trying to bully me up there. And I love to tell people. And it'll usually turn them when I go, hey, I know what's going on. I know if I said license and registration, y'all choke on your chicken fingers. But, you know, lighten up. You know what I mean? That's a great question. Somebody came up after. The other night I was at the New York Comedy Club. Alyssa was with me. I just came through to do a spot. Went up there, had a really great set. Really liked the room. And when I got off stage, next person that came up, they were kind. It is what it is. But they go, I wish I had a fun accent. They go, they're just so nice and fun, and it just sounds good. And you know, and they didn't say anything mean, but you wish they'd have gone really tight, fun jokes right there, wasn't it? Yeah, that closer at the end, pretty clever little switch around they did. Y'all give it up for, and they went, you know, I wish I sounded like a grasshopper, you know, whatever that means. But
That's a perfect answer. Yeah,
your accent is your wheelchair.
Yeah, it is. It is a little bit. Sometimes people just stare at me. Yeah, are you handing me something?
Is that just your hand, or can I fist bump it?
I had to make sure. I go, I don't see a spatula, but I'll help you.
Oh, fuck.
Oh my god.
So, that's okay. That's okay.
Brady, you got a
So people online have been talking about today 100 guys versus a gorilla. Have y'all seen this?
What?
I haven't. Yeah.
Blowing up all. Wait, 100 guys versus one gorilla? What guys? What gorilla?
Harambe. I could take him.
Dead?
Yeah. Oh. Well, he's done. 100 men. Men or like just
men.
Yeah.
Let's say at. I vote gorilla. Full grown?
Well, I can tell you this. If there's 100 men with my grip strength, it's going to be bad. I can tell you that.
100 Bradys.
Yeah.
You really put the balls on them.
Yeah. No, I think 100 men would be able to take one gorilla, and I think we'd lose half or more. Yeah. But it would, the weight, if 15 men got on top of them, which they'd eventually be able to do. It would bring them to the ground, and you could almost suffocate them or dogpile them.
Okay, I
would
like, wait,
yeah, you'd lose a couple on the bottom of that
what
pile.
What are the odds that 100 men work together to dogpile? No, they'd all be like,
it's
I want to
football.
Be the one with the final blah, 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 and it would screw everyone.
No, you give that gorilla a football, we're taking
would
him down.
Get everyone.
I would like to think that after the 10th guy got his head ripped off,
all right,
there'd be somebody that turn around and go, hey, let's circle up. Everybody's getting their head smashed in.
We need to regroup.
Yeah.
Retreat. Yeah. Retreat.
Yeah.
Rethink this.
Yeah. But those questions are always, or those scenarios are always so wild, and they're a little hard for me to get into like other people do because I have a hard time putting myself in that situation. Yeah. So that's hard for me to get. I mean, I'll tell you, the other day I saw this reel on Instagram where this flight instructor was on his fourth jump of the day, parachuting instructor. And he was up there and he was going to videotape the next jump that was going on. There was an instructor and a client. And it was his fourth jump. That's a lot of jumps in a day. I think he was going to do, you know, maybe even a couple more. And he got busy, and they kind of at the last second were like, hey, we're at the right height. Let's get out. And so he jumped with him, and he never put on his parachute. And so he just fell to his death. And you can see him in the middle of the fall looking for his parachute in his hands. And then you see the panic. And the other people who he would need to latch onto are accidentally creating distance. And so we're sitting here talking about 100 people going after a gorilla, and I'm never going to jump out of a plane, but I cannot stop thinking about how this is the mistake Derek Stroop would make. I would put down my parachute, and we would have a conversation. I'd go, no, I never really got into Lunchables that much. Time to, yeah. And then I go, hey, you know what I mean? And I mean, I could feel it in my stomach, the fear, you know what I'm saying? Could you imagine?
That's a long time to think about the dumb mistake you
and,
just
and
made.
And what y'all really need to take away from this is this, can y'all tell how invested I am in this? Yeah. I have thought about this because you just watch him, like he just jumps out with him and he assumes he's got his backpack on.
Isn't that a metaphor for...
a metaphor for...
Isn't that a metaphor?
I'm trying to think about
it. You know, that really got me thinking.
Yeah, me too.
We'll be right back.
If you're going to jump, you better check for your chute.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Shoot happens.
All right, is there anything that was cool when you were young that is not anymore?
I'll tell you what, hard work. Hard work. Hard work used to be cool. It used to be cool to work hard and be a good person. It used to be cool, and ain't cool no more. Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to think. What? It's not cool anymore. I'll tell you, I'm 40, okay? And it hasn't made a comeback. It was on its second. Bell-bottom jeans were got real popular. Yeah.
The low-rise.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that's a good thing I don't know that. If I went and I've noticed, the middle schoolers are starting to wear these.
Honestly, good on you for not knowing.
Yeah, thank you. But I know that's such I can do better than that. What do y'all got? I'll think of something better.
I got a good one. Silly bands. I'm 28.
Silly
bands.
They
were hot.
So that was a real thing, but I will say once I was in like college maybe, silly bands now were like the colors and the ones you had represented like sex stuff. And it became really creepy and weird.
You talking about bands. Things that were like shapes and you'd wear it like they were like dinosaurs
yes,
and then you put them around your wrist.
Wait, did you have that?
No, I think
I
was.
I got mine. I'm gonna circle back. Lava lamps. Come on.
Really good.
That's what we need to add. Yeah. If we had a lava lamp back there.
Can I ask how old you are? Is that inappropriate? Okay, so we're the same. Yeah. So silly bands. I know. You looked at me like you understood.
Oh yeah. I listen to those silly bands.
But in a cool way, not in a concerning way.
Yeah.
Dude.
Lava lamps is mine. You don't see lava lamps anymore. They were great.
I had one to be ironic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got one, like, after they went out of style.
Yeah, like, I love the 70s.
And, like, yeah. Like, went to Spencer's, and you were like, I don't really fit in.
I'm artsy. Nailed it, dude. I don't really fit in, but I have a ton of friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was
Spencer's gets me.
I like be wearing ties and you rip all on them and you're like, I don't know what happened, but now I'm like different.
Oh, I got one. Spinners.
Spinners.
Like,
rims.
Like
rims that spun.
Crimson's.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Go ahead. That's exciting.
Yeah, spinners. They stopped. They said they never would.
They don't stop.
I saw
they did.
Recently.
Wait, on spinners? Cards?
Yeah.
On cards?
Remember, they were, I mean... They blew up from 2000 to 2007.
Like, everyone had them at some point?
Not everyone, but...
I don't know. No, not everyone.
Specific demographics.
Yeah.
Well,
hey.
Yeah.
I mean, what can I say? I was in the streets.
Yeah.
Murfreesboro.
What can I say? I was in the streets of Murfreesboro. Really, you don't really see rims that much anymore.
Not as much.
Loud systems aren't really a thing anymore. Like, I remember back in the day, you could have 215s and just, you couldn't hear any of the song, but it didn't matter.
Yeah, you just be in the back.
Yeah. Like, I feel like this is controlling my heart rate right now.
I feel like for y'all's generation, it was like long cargo shorts.
Yeah, long cargo shorts. I never got, I wasn't a long cargo shorts guy. But they were popular.
Who was he?
Oh yeah,
that was not long cargo.
Bucket hat Matt for sure.
I'm
not proud, but I support him.
Yeah.
hey, the bucket hat was her idea.
I love
it's a good look.
I put a hat on and I was
it's a good look.
She goes, I don't like that hat on.
I like it.
Put the bucket hat on.
Can hold stuff.
The cargo pants. Oh.
Oh, I was like, yeah, I go in the hat. What's under the hat?
The only time I ever wore
more Zins. I go, oh my goodness gracious. That's wild.
The only time I ever wore cargo shorts is like when I'd go to festivals. Because that makes sense. You need as many pockets as you can have when you're going to be out all day.
Were you a festival guy?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, the tie-dye
I mean, I went to a couple country music festivals, I'll be honest.
That's different.
Yeah, but it wasn't, yeah. I was never a big cargo shorts. I was not a big cargo shorts guy. It wasn't my thing. And not like in a, I'm too cool. It wasn't something that I got into.
Were you into long basketball shorts?
Oh, yeah. Not like too long, but like pretty long, yeah.
Ooh, were you into basketball shorts under your jeans?
Never.
What was that
I was
about?
The tail end of when that was in.
I mean, no, it was, I say never. I did it sometimes. I mean, you'd get swamp ass you couldn't fight back from.
Golly.
I mean, the humidity that gym shorts causes is insane.
Yeah, try sitting in a wheelchair all day.
No, yeah, I bet.
Wait.
Rainforest Cafe, basketball, you know, right?
Rainforest SA, you know what I'm saying?
Hey. FA, let's go.
FA.
Rainforest FA.
My disease is called Friedrich's ataxia.
FA.
This is some insider.
Now I'm in on it. I go, man, they really thought that was good. Yeah, now yeah, I get it.
Look, I'm going to be honest. I don't think anybody got that.
You're like, F-A. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
Don't finish that. Yeah.
That's funny. Right. Yeah, I feel like spinners were pretty hot, though.
I'm trying to think. We but definitely had another thing that was, like, embarrassing, but so popular.
Livestrong bands.
Wait. Sorry. I'm screaming.
Oh, you're... Didn't
work.
Coney 2012.
What was that?
What was that?
I remember Do y'all remember that?
I don't.
Yeah, but it was like a scam, and we all like changed our Facebook profiles to Coney 2012. You don't remember this?
I don't remember it either. No.
Yeah, I didn't change my profile.
Never mind. I'm unrelatable.
I miss stuff sometimes. I just realized that this wasn't another dog. So there'll be things that I'll miss every once in a while. I go, they got one well-behaved one and one that can't keep still.
It used to be a dog. Yeah.
We don't like barking.
Notice she's really quiet.
You're next.
Lulu's real quiet.
She wanted a friend.
Oh my god.
Wait, where are you from again?
I'm originally from right outside of Huntsville, Alabama. Harvest, Alabama. Yeah, sounds like a made-up place.
It does.
It's like, I always tell people it's a little too on brand. It's like being from white people, Utah. I'm from Tornado, Oklahoma.
From Mormon, Utah.
Yeah, Harvest, Alabama, that's tough. Yeah.
Oh, man. Dang. And here on the podcast, we like to talk about tragedy to triumph stories.
Mm-hmm.
Which we've talked before, you know, you were in your hometown for a while, which is where you started comedy, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you had a few situations that looked like they were going to keep you down, but you turned it into gold.
Yeah. 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 14 years ago, I got 2 DUIs in 6 months. And I say 6 months because it sounds better than 4. yeah, for sure. That definitely, that's what got me on the path to comedy, really. And people, like, they don't understand that. But it's one of those things where, you know, when you get 2 DUIs in 4 months and you get in that type of trouble and you feel the way you do, you feel like your only way to come back is to, like, prove the whole world wrong. And you don't feel like you can do that from inside of a retail store. You kind of go on, like, a revenge tour, if you will. that kind of lit the fire.
That was a really good way to say it.
That definitely sent me down the path of you'll do some open mics when you don't have a car anymore. You know what I mean? You know, I was riding my bikes around and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Dang.
Yeah, I haven't drove in 14 years.
It's over. I haven't either.
Yeah. You got me beat. No, I have not drove in 14 years. I'll Uber, Lyft. I mean, you wouldn't have guessed the same. We get around the same way.
Nope, not doing
Also, the way you started comedy is still insane to me.
Yeah, I was running a bar in Jacksonville, Alabama. And we had all kinds of country music folks coming through, Sam Hunt, Riley Green, Drake White, all these other guys. And I was like, I want to get up there. I can't sing, though, but I'd always enjoyed comedy. But there was no comedians in Jacksonville, Alabama. So I just would, back then I was drinking for sure. Running that bar, I'd take about 9 Jaeger bombs, do 45 minutes on stage, not tell one joke, I don't think. just rants with no punchlines. And it was a lot of fun. I'd make pitchers $1. Fill up the whole bar that I ran, and those people, a lot of those people still support me today. A lot of them will still show up. But yeah, this is just back. I wasn't trying to be a comedian, if you will, or even chase a dream at the time. I was trying to do something fun for myself. These guys, you know, I was like, if I hear Wagon Wheel one more time, I'm gonna kill myself. and so I was like, I want to have fun, get up on stage, and so comedy is what I had a couple comedians that inspired me, and I just kind of went out. I did that for about 3 years. I'd get up on stage about once every 3 months, and that's how I started. Until I moved to Denver, 2015, and that's when I started doing open mics, and I dove headfirst into the scene. But before that, I was just putting myself up in the back of a smoky bar, my own show. So, yeah, it's a wild, wild beginning.
That's awesome, though. Yeah,
thank you.
Do you count your, when people are like, how long have you been doing comedy?
Mm-hmm.
Do you count Denver as your start, or do you count?
You know, that's like one of my favorite questions anybody's ever asked me. Because when people ask me how long I've been doing comedy, I'm so conflicted. Because you could call me a liar. Because before I got to Denver, there was 3 or 4 years where I was doing comedy about 10 to 15 times a year. Without a scene, without an open mic, without anything. Mm-hmm. But then I went to Denver and I go, then I had a open mics, real comedy, these things. So I say it, so I'm being honest, but I didn't really start doing comedy until 2015. Before then, I was just floating in the abyss, you know, watched some comedy specials, kind of got an idea of what I was doing, but had no idea. There are no other comedians in Jacksonville, Alabama. There was nobody to talk to. There was no writing sessions or anything. I was just up there kind of, you know, having a good time more than anything. So, yeah, that's a great question, and I do count it, but reluctantly. Because the haters, they want to hear it. The haters want to hear 20 years, baby.
God, I feel that. Matt's my biggest hater. Yeah. I'm a very... No, I'm doing this to fight with them later. I have a very similar story.
I love that.
I didn't really start till 4 years ago, but he wants me to say 7.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was the first time you ever picked up a mic, right? Just held a mic and was talking it. Not real comedy. I'm just saying, same thing with me. Because I was holding a microphone.
I was drunk and angry and rambling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I went up about the time that I started to forget where I was. I go, let's start the show. yeah, I mean, that's how, yeah.
You're like, we're in New York, not Alabama.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right, for
around
sure.
The time I lost my keys, I go, hey, my name's Derek Stroop.
Yeah, exactly. No,
and I need a ride home.
And
for me, it's been better. I don't. You know, I'm not completely, you know, sober. I mean, I'm an edibles guy from way back. So, you know, I'll ride some lightning every once in a while. But on stage, I'm sober and I like to be, you know, very present because it feels like my brain's, you know, moving at the speed that I want it to. I think sometimes, you know, alcohol tells you it's like you're running fast and you're not moving. You know what I'm saying? Like your brain plays those tricks on you every once in a while. And then some people will drink. My old man, he'll have a few beers and becomes a better person. He's funnier, smarter, you know.
He loves you more.
Yeah, he's more relatable, you know what I mean? He notices flowers.
He cares about my emotions.
Yeah, yeah.
He's starting to grab.
Yeah.
Yeah, sweetie, did you get your hair cut?
No, do you partake in anything before you go on stage? Do you like to go up there?
I used to up until recently. I honestly had to have like 2 drinks in me because I was so nervous my voice would shake.
Absolutely.
I go on sober now.
Yeah, yeah. I think that, and that for like longevity reasons, we're going to do this for the rest of our life so many times. If you tie alcohol into every time you hold a mic, I can't even imagine. And there's lots of people, and there's pros, people, yada, yada, yada. Please don't send me a DM. You can drink and be funny on stage. Everybody's different. But what I'm saying is that, you know, it's dangerous to tie those two together, in my opinion. If you're on stage, you know, 5 nights a week, 4 nights a week, you're going to, you know.
Yeah, you're going to die. You're going to die.
Yeah. What about you, Matt?
I used to, like, right when I first started, I would have, like, a few drinks. And then I almost feel like I did better, like intoxicated a few times, and then like one time I didn't. I was like, well, I don't want this to be a thing.
Yeah.
To where like I keep feeling like I have to do this just to do better. So I just kind of went back to eating it until I got more comfortable on stage. And
yeah.
Now, yeah, I don't really don't. I'll have some drinks afterwards, but
yeah
I'm not drinking anything before.
Yeah, I've never done it high. Things I'm drunk on. Oh Lord, I don't do shrooms really, but I've done them twice, and both times was on stage.
Yeah,
nightmare.
Yeah, I could not imagine doing shrooms on stage.
That is
the first time I sobbed. I said, I don't want to go out there. They said, you have to. The whole show was about the comics were on shrooms. It was like a thing.
Yeah.
So the audience knew. And I was like, Matt has to come out there with me. And I made him stand next to me on stage and hold my hand.
Yeah, she was freaking out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you. I mean, if anybody's ever done shrooms, they would know immediately how wild of a ride that would be. Because even like you do them at your house becomes your castle. And you go, I wouldn't go into the yard. Why would I go into the yard? There's giant lizards in the yard. I'm going to, you know, like you find these safe spaces and you got to see certain people and like these things just to have a crowd. And I'm sure there's some people that are able to do that, but I could not imagine that. I mean, one time I had shrooms in a chocolate bar, which is not fair to do to me because they go eat a little bit. And I mean, I ate most of the bar, and I'm going to tell you, I went through all the emotions. I laughed and I laughed and I cried and I cried and I was mad and upset. I mean, I felt it all. I mean, it was wild. It was wild.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something.
It is. Yeah.
The second time I did it, that was my bad.
That was your bad?
My bad.
You knew.
But you kind of knew that what you were like.
No one else was doing shrooms.
Yeah, a single trip is wild.
Yeah, it was a solo ride for sure.
But also, like, I remember at one point, like, oh my God, on stage, she's like, oh my God, these shrooms are kicking in. And then this lady just hates her.
She tells a joke stage, that is. We're knee to knee. She's right there. Yeah. And I'm like, and I have a joke but it's like anti that, obviously.
Clearly.
And this woman was so mad at me telling this. And I was like, are you mad at me?
You're like, in real life?
Yeah.
Like, mad? Yeah.
I'm like, girl, I'm being sad about it. What are we doing?
Yeah. And it's especially crazy when people forget that we are telling jokes.
Yeah.
Like, we are actively in the act of joking. Yeah, if I'm holding a mic and I'm up on stage, I'm joking.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, really.
God, there was a response that you had. Somebody tried to say something. Like, they just didn't. It was online, and I just was, like, looking at the comments like, this cracked me up.
Yeah, so like, a guy.
Oh, man, I wish there was a.
Yeah, this guy was talking about a bit I was doing, and I go, I wish we could tell if this guy was doing stand-up. I go, it'd be better if he was like on stage holding the mic so we'd know for sure. And, you know, I'm clearly up there holding a mic. But that's how you got to respond to these idiots online. Like, these people, they just come flying in sideways every once in a while. I know you see them and you're like, you little trolls. You bet you have a terrible grip.
I don't reply to anyone.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, good and bad. I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. They'll turn on you. Most people think I'm faking it.
There's no way.
I swear to God.
That's insane.
This guy commented on his thing and was like, how dare you take advantage of this poor handicapped girl. And then he commented on one of my things and said, you're obviously faking it. I'm like
which one is it, dude? Yeah.
He went through people a full range of emotions.
Nuts, yeah.
I'm flattered that people think I'm faking it. This would be a hell of a bit. I built a ramp for a bit.
That's an expensive bit.
I built a ramp for a bit is a bar of a line. I built two ramps for a bit. I make Matt carry me places for a bit.
Yeah. I don't like this bit at all. Not one bit.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Where are we at? 57? That's pretty good. Live questions? Were any good? Oh, there was a deep one. I like to close out light, so we'll maybe do this and then figure a better one. Do you think dying feels scary or relieving?
I think that it probably depends on how you lived your life. You know, my mentor and a guy that helped me a lot in comedy, Deacon Gray, he died of cancer when he was like 51 or 52. And I was by his side all the way to his death. And he was he was over Comedy Works New Talent Night in Denver. And somebody I looked up to a lot that became a friend of mine in comedy. And I'll never forget, he's on his deathbed. And he had the best attitude. And he had the best outlook because, and you know, he never said it, but I feel like it was because he went out doing what he loved and he never lived by anybody else's rules. He is a comedian. He lived his life on stage telling jokes. He had quenched his thirst. You know, he wasn't grabbing at life for more. He was sad and he wasn't excited for it to end, but he seemed like that he was at peace because of the decision he made to be an entertainer. And then you see a lot of businessmen grabbing the bed and begging people not to let them die because they sat in an office their whole life and did a lot of things that they probably regret and decisions that they didn't want to make. So that makes me decide, and that kind of pushed me to the thinking of like how you live your life, the decisions you make. I think all that matters to how you feel when you're about to close your eyes forever. I think there's some people that go, man, I wish I had another shot at this. And there's some people that go, man, I'm pretty proud of how I did it. And that would be how I'd look at it.
Bars.
Yeah, you got it, dude.
That was phenomenal. Yeah. Oh, my God.
He talks fast and he has thoughts.
Dang.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a better way to answer that question.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I always even get, you know, you guys will relate to this, and I only share this with like comics, and even though it is dark, but it's real, you know, we spend a lot of our times in hotel rooms and different places, you know, on the road. And I always joke around and say, you know, when my final days, I want somebody to put me in a Hampton Inn and lay me in one of the beds. And as I'm drifting off, just lie to me and go, hey, you got one more show tonight. Don't forget that. And I think I'd believe it, you know, in a Hampton Inn.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, it's a song.
Yeah.
So good. Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, I've had a lot of thought about that, which is so, you know, just about everybody thinks about dying a lot. I mean, if you don't, then I'm jealous. What a life. But I think we all think about, you know, the end of the ride. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on that.
That's perfect.
Dying.
I mean, I don't. I think it's scary.
Yeah.
I think it's a little scary.
Yeah.
I feel like you think about it more than me somehow.
That's yeah, I probably, yeah, I might have.
Yeah, I think giving meaning to the time you had here is important.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And I also have this thing where, like, it's kind of a tough rule of mine where if somebody dies, I don't talk better about them because they're dead.
Yes, I agree.
You wrote those checks. You cashed those checks. You know what I mean? I don't know what I'm trying to say with whatever analogy that was, so don't worry about that. But I'm saying that
you're in debt now. They bounce.
You wrote the checks.
But no. Sometimes people will die and they'll try to say no. What when you die, what people say about you is what you earned. And that doesn't mean they should go around bashing you or anything like that. I don't believe about bashing dead people, but I'll never say a good thing about a bad person that's dead just because they're dead. You earn nice things being said about you after you leave this place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Dang, Derek.
Yeah,
that's
the name
of the episode. Dang, Derek.
Yeah.
Dang, Derek.
This tie-dyed shirt's got me in my feels, bro. Come on.
Oh, man. I mean, I don't... Is that... That might be the best way to...
Yeah, I
mean, such a philosophical...
Yeah. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, that was a lot of fun. I can tell you that.
Thank you so much for being our first guest, dude.
That was so much fun. I mean, what a blast. You guys are some of my favorite people, and I'm rooting so hard for y'all, and I'm so proud of y'all. Fiona's out here on a rocket ship. I mean, you're not just doing great stuff for yourself, but you're inspiring a lot of people, and your story means a lot. So thank you all for having me. It's flattering and honoring, and, you know, it's cool. So thank you all.
Thank you for being here. It means the world.
Anything you want to plug on the way out?
Oh, DerekStroopComedy.com is where you can find all my tour dates. Derek Yells on all the social media. And, I live on the road, so you'll find me out there if you want to. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, we're heading over to the Patreon. If you want to join us.
Feel free to join us.
All right. You can see us make Derek do improv.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's just smelling salts.
All right. Thank you for watching.
See y'all. One, two, three, four. We're ready.